Good evening, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But that's 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Corey Brackett, and Corey has put together a wonderful video we carry. It's called Sweet Misery. It's the story of aspartame, we call NutraSweet, and I think it's so important for people to understand that there really are wicked and evil people in the world. It's very hard for people to understand that if you go down and you look in the prepared foods that you're going to buy in the store, and really so many of the products there will contain aspartame in them. There's certainly your diet colas. Various brands will have aspartame and NutraSweet in them. Your yogurt. I was eating yogurt the other day, really enjoying it, until I saw it had aspartame. Now, you must understand that both aspartame and MSG are excitotoxins. They actually work by overstimulating the nerve cells in your brain and actually killing them. And this is a very, very dangerous product. It was outlawed. It was forbidden by the FDA for 15 or 17 years, and Corey can tell you a lot more about that. But it is a terrible and dangerous product that never should have been released for human consumption, because it produces tumors and brain tumors and all sorts of other tumors, both in animals and in humans as well. And they know that. But you see, it was a very, very profitable thing. And it was brought in, it was legalized back in 1980, 1981, when President Reagan came into office. And, of course, one of the people on his transition team just happened to be the CEO, the chief executive officer of Cyril, which had the rights, had the patent on NutraSweet, and they were desperate to actually get that accepted because Cyril was on the ropes financially, and so they simply put their people into the FDA, got it through, and then, of course, Donald Rumsfeld did very, very well after that as CEO of J.D. Cyril, until eventually he retired, a multimillionaire, and today he is the Secretary of Defense. Corey, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, sure, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell our listeners how you became aware of the fact that the aspartame, that NutraSweet, was dangerous. It produced neurological disease, produced a whole gamut of diseases. And yet, of course, it's in so many of our foods. And the government wouldn't release something that was going to poison the American people, would they?
Well, that's what I thought. I used to be a very heavy consumer of aspartame-containing products for, about 20 years. I would drink about 6 to 10 cans of diet soda a day, and other products. I would consume them as well. And in 2001, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I started to question what was going on with that, and I did some research. And the more that I did research, the more I kept seeing aspartame in conjunction with MS, the two things would come up together.
Well, now, but did you ask your doctor about this? Did he was he aware that this was a problem?
She told me there was nothing dietary-wise that I could do to help improve my health. And she also told me in confidence that she wouldn't drink diet soda herself, but she wouldn't tell people not to drink it.
Well, I think that she was at least an honest person from your point of view. And mm-hmm. The trouble is, a lot of doctors who know things, they will not vaccinate their children, but they'll vaccinate yours. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this evening, Corey Brackett, and Corey is talking to us about how it was that she became aware of the fact that there was a relationship between aspartame and at least some cases of multiple sclerosis and other progressive neurological diseases like Parkinson's disease. So pick up your story. Anyway, your doctor told you that she would not use this herself, but she wasn't going to tell her patients that. And, you know, what a tragic situation it is when doctors can't be honest with their patients and do what they think is best for them, but the doctor faces losing their license if they do what's right for their patients, because they're really, in many instances, told exactly what they can and cannot say. So you pick up the story, please.
Yes. After I started seeing the aspartame and MS connection over and over again, I started to wonder what was going on with that. And then I would see something saying it was a hoax and all this controversy. So I went ahead and did some more research, and I found out who these people were on the Internet making these claims. And my husband and I took a trip across the country, and we talked to these people, doctors, scientists, lawyers, activists, victims, you name it, and found out that there was indeed some truth to this, and much more than we bargained for. For example, we didn't even know that Donald Rumsfeld was the head of G.D. Searle when we started the project.
All right. Of course, now, apparently you were fairly incapacitated. Were you in a wheelchair? Were you on crutches? How were you getting around?
I disintegrated, is how I say it, very quickly. Being in a wheelchair, having double vision, slurred speech. I couldn't raise my arms over my head. I was a mess, really. And I finally started to get better, and then off of aspartame, and then I had, by accident, some breath mint tabs for under the tongue, and unknown to me, they contained aspartame, and I quickly degenerated again into having more double vision. And it took a while more for me to recover from that. But then I haven't had any problems since then.
All right. And so you're actually up walking around and getting around and functioning fairly well then at the present time?
Yes. Although I do like to joke that if I go into a supermarket, there are about 5 products that I feel safe getting.
Well, I'll tell you, our son is very, very allergic to MSG, so my wife has to actually go through all of those labels, and we're very, very conscious of what we're eating, and especially now we know about aspartame, we avoid that too, like the plague. We'll be right back. Well, I guess this evening is Corey Brackett, and she came down with multiple sclerosis. They did MRIs on her, and on the MRI you can actually see these lesions. They're areas of demyelinization, and you had a very, very large lesion, didn't you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the same doctor who told me that it was fine to drink diet soda, even though she wouldn't touch it personally, told me that it was the biggest lesion she had ever seen.
All right, and of course, you had double vision, you had slurring of speech, you had, of course, long track signs, you weren't able to stand up, you were confined to a wheelchair, more or less, and This is very, very characteristic of MS. And the slurring of speech, the double vision, these are all signs of involvement of the cranial nerves. So you were really progressing fairly rapidly. But fortunately, you had the good sense to not to listen to what people told you. You went up on the Internet, and by the miracle of the Internet, you were able to find out that at least many people believe there was a relationship between some cases of MS and aspartame, NutraSweet. You got off that. You quit drinking your 6 or 8 cans of diet soda every day. And suddenly you began to get better. Now, I understand that you also lost 70 pounds.
Ironically, yes, I did.
Now, were you trying to lose the weight, or did it just come off?
No. Strangely enough, I wasn't trying to lose weight then, because I had a lot more things on my mind. When I was trying to lose weight and was drinking diet soda all the time, thinking that I was doing something good for myself, that was when I slowly gained 70 pounds over the years. And that progressed to the point where I was blotchy and I didn't have any energy all the time, and it was just, really ugly.
Well, no, I think this is one of the more interesting things, is that there is a definite relationship between this pathological obesity, this obesity epidemic that we're seeing, and the consumption of diet drinks. And of course, so many people drink the diet drinks thinking that somehow they're going to actually then begin to lose weight. After all, there's no sugar in it, without realizing that there are studies that suggest that aspartame produces a lesion in the brain that causes people to eat more. And of course, there are many studies suggested, certainly we know with MSG, if you want to get a fat rat, you give it MSG, and the rats get very fat. And there's many suggestions that it's exactly the same sort of brain lesion we're producing in our people that's producing the epidemic of obesity, but nobody ever wants to talk about that, do they?
No. It seems like we in this country, well, and globally actually, like to think that that's just fate. I was just unlucky to be overweight, but we don't consider cause and effect, and that very often can come into play. I'm not saying always, but it can come into the play.
Well, have you talked to other people who've quit drinking the diet drinks and actually lost weight?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have. And actually, if you've ever noticed, when you're out and about seeing somebody with the diet soda, most often, not always, but very often, they're overweight, and they're not making the connection to themselves that perhaps that could indeed be causing the problem, or partially causing the problem for them, rather than the other way around.
Well, because there's this idea that these are diet, that these are low calorie. Well, but they're lying to the American people. If they allowed the American people to know that the more of this you drink, the more weight you're going to put on, in many instances, how many people would be using the diet drinks? How many people would be, eating all the foods that has the NutraSweet in it, or using it in their coffee, if they knew it was going to produce brain lesions and all sorts of serious health problems? And of course, let's get over into the incidence of diabetes, because I know you've talked to Dr. Roberts, who's an endocrinologist who deals with diabetes. He's written the classic book on aspartame, which incidentally we carry. It's called Aspartame and, I believe, the Forgotten Epidemic, something of that sort. Anyway, it's an excellent book, 1,000 pages. What did Dr. Roberts tell you about the relationship between NutraSweet and diabetes? Because, of course, the Diabetic Association tells all of our diabetics, oh, you've just got to use this because you don't want to use sugar. So what did you learn from Dr. Roberts when you talked to him?
Well, aspartame mimics sugar in the body, and the body can't really tell the difference, but actually can really affect blood sugar levels in people and kind of create it out of whack and make people more insulin dependent in this whole big cycle.
And so actually it aggravates the problem rather than cures the problem. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's what I understand, yes.
All right. Well, of course, Dr. Roberts, for those who really want to get the information, you need to get Dr. Roberts' book, or we carry another excellent book by Dr. Blaylock, Russell Blaylock, called Excitotoxins, the taste it kills, covering both aspartame and MSG. We also carry Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And if you don't have that book, you really need to get it, because it covers a whole gamut of things. And I know my wife uses that regularly, and many times it will check the things out that you get out of the store with, of course, Dr. Blaylock's recommendations, all based on solid scientific studies and facts, but not the sort of thing that the average doctor knows, because he's not being told this at his medical meetings. Why? Well, because many of the medical meetings are subsidized by the drug companies and companies like Cero. He's not going to read this in his journals, because they're subsidized by the drug companies. And they want you to think that drugs are all the solution. Just take our very expensive drugs. Don't you dare get those in from Canada, though, because, after all, even though they were manufactured in the United States, once they go across the border, why, they become renegade, they become counterfeits, and if you can get them for a third the price in Canada, why, you're breaking the law. So anyway, we got real problems. I think the FDA is in bed with the drug companies. The drug companies are in bed with the FDA. And until we have honest government, and I think that's pretty unlikely, since we no longer are an honest country, we're a post-Christian country, the moral foundation of this country has been eroded, why, you're going to have to, you out there in the listening audience, are going to have the facts yourself, and you're going to have to look after your own health and your own family. Because you're not going to be able to trust your doctor, not that he would do anything purposely to harm you, he just doesn't know. And you're certainly not going to listen to what the FDA says, because now the one thing about a really good FDA bureaucrat is that as soon as he retires, if he possibly can, he's going to get a good paying job working for the drug company he's been regulating. Some people might call that incest. Other people would just call that politics. Doesn't really matter. Time and again, the FDA has known drugs were dangerous, and they've left them on the market. They've known for several years the relationship between Vioxx and a dramatic increase in heart disease and strokes, and it took them several years before they finally got around to making this an issue. And they knew certainly about the SV40, the cancer-producing virus, and the polio vaccine back in the late 1950s and early 60s, and they just simply didn't tell the people, and they used up the stocks, and, well, there's so many instances we could talk about, but we're talking this evening about, specifically about aspartame, about NutraSweet, and what Corey found as he was making this film, which we think is excellent. It's called Sweet Misery. So why don't you tell us about some of the other people you met on your travels?
Yes, well, we talked to both Dr. Roberts and Dr. Blaylock, who you just mentioned, and we also talked to Ralph Walton, who's a psychiatrist who worked on creating a study of the studies, and found that virtually all of the studies that were done that showed that aspartame was quote-unquote safe were funded by the industry or something related to the industry. But yet, virtually all of the independently funded studies showed one problem or another with aspartame. And I was really glad that he had done that study. It was a very fascinating, eye-opening thing to see. We also talked to Jim Turner, who is an attorney who worked very heavily with Dr. John Olney, who discovered that aspartic acid can cause holes in the brains of lab mice, and they were trying to work with the federal government and the FDA and get it not approved, but they were not able to be successful. There's a lot of big bucks riding on getting something like that approved.
And so Dr. Olney had actually done experiments with it, fed the laboratory mice this product, and of course, what did it do? Did it cause demyelinization of the central nervous system? What sort of lesions did it have with the animals, do you know?
Well, I don't know what type of lesions, but I do know that it did cause lesions in the brain.
All right, and of course, if we find that the products produce lesions in the brains of animals, why, we had anticipated would produce lesions in the brains of human beings. Certainly, if a product produces a cancer in an animal, you're not supposed to use it in human beings.
And right, that's called the Delaney Amendment. It's actually... part of law. We're not supposed to do anything that can cause cancer in animals. We're not supposed to give that to people, but we seem to get around that.
Well, how did they get around that? Because there were actually studies, and I have the government studies, that showed that there seemed to be a relationship between brain cancers, a terrible, terrible disease, and NutraSweet in animals. So how did they get around that and release that so we could take it? Because certainly there's an increase in brain tumors all across America today. So how did they get around that? How did they actually get that released when for 15, 17 years the FDA had steadfastly refused to release NutraSweet and aspartame?
It's a big revolving door between the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies, basically the law firms and the public relation firms that work for G.D. Searle.
You hang on to that thought. Okay. We'll be back here in just a moment, too. Our guest is Corey Brackett. We're talking about her video, Sweet Misery. You need to see it. You need to get the facts. You need to protect your family. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Corey Brackett. Corey, we want to pick up the story from there, from what actually did happen, and how were they actually get this released? Because this is certainly one of the most disturbing things, is the fact that in animals it actually produced brain tumors, and although they were giving fairly substantial doses, there was a government committee, a committee of specialists who looked at the work and said, you know, we should not release this until we've resolved this problem. So how did they resolve the problem?
Well, partly with that revolving door that happened earlier on, there was a U.S. Justice Department memo that urged the U.S. attorney to proceed with a grand jury investigation of G.D. Searle. And the U.S. attorney ended up in negotiations with the Searle's law firm and went to work for them for something ridiculous like $1,000 a day.
You're talking about the U.S. attorney was supposed to be investigating this company, goes
right
to work for their law firm?
He recused himself from that that grand jury investigation, and his assistant was then assigned to the grand jury, but then he ended up taking a job, he let the statute of limitations run out on the aspartame charges. There were a lot of shenanigans like this that are very confusing, and that's part of the way that it becomes easy to get confused and not be able to figure out if it's right or wrong. But then when you start really looking at all the information, it's like, wow, I can't believe this is happening.
Well, now you say that this attorney, this U.S. attorney who is supposed to be investigating, let the statute of limitations run out. And then what happened to him? Is he the fellow who went to work for their law firm or what?
Yes. 15 months later, he accepted a job with the law firm representing G.D. Searle.
Well, wouldn't somebody suggest that or suspect that there might be some collusion there? We certainly saw this recently with Boeing when the Air Force woman who was negotiating with Boeing for this big, $20, $30, $40 billion tanker deal, then, of course, went to work for Boeing. And when that was brought out, why she, of course, was indicted and probably will go to jail. The head of Boeing was, or at least the people in Boeing were involved, have been fired, you know, for collusion, because that's illegal. Would anything ever happen to this lawyer?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, he's still working for the law firm, but I don't know what happened to him afterwards. We're starting a sequel to Sweet Misery right now where we're getting into the research to follow up on some of these things, as well as focusing on issues of healing and detoxification.
All right.
talking to a lot of people about that.
All right. Now, what are some of the other complications? We've already talked about the obesity. We've talked about the neurological problems. We've talked about certainly the problem with sugar diabetes. What about some of the problems as far as endocrine function? What about pregnancy? What about the ability of women to get pregnancy? What about harm to the child in utero, within the uterus, within the womb of a woman who's drinking large amounts of diet cola of one sort or another?
Well, drinking diet soda while pregnant was actually pushed upon pregnant women and said that it was good for you as a weight loss device. But it actually can be very harmful to the fetus.
You hold that thought for just a minute, Corey. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. And if you're out there in the listening audience and would like to talk to Corey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Now, one of the things was that for many years, Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi and these other companies that are putting this poison in their product would even give away a free coupon so that obstetricians could give these coupons to their patients, pregnant women, with the idea that they would be drinking this so they wouldn't put on weight. And what do you worry about when you're dealing with OB? And of course, that goes back a long time in my history, probably pretty close to 50 years ago when I was doing deliveries. But you were always concerned about a woman putting on too much weight, so they were actually giving them and encouraging them to giving them the coupons and encouraging them to drink diet soda. So what actually was the harmful effect, or is there a harmful effect when you're consuming large amounts of aspartame, large amounts of NutraSweet when you're pregnant?
Yes, because the blood-brain barrier is not yet formed in fetuses, essentially, so that the aspartame can go right up to the brain and create more damage. And there is a lot of instances we're finding out of brain damage and birth defects. And also, that's if you can get pregnant, because aspartame has been shown to be a problem in getting pregnant. I've heard a number of reports that people were not able to get pregnant, and then they stopped drinking diet soda or using aspartame-containing products. And then all of a sudden they've got a bouncing baby boy or girl.
In other words, they get off the product, and then they get a bouncing baby boy or baby girl. And, of course, this is one of the big problems with this. It affects your endocrine system. It affects the reproductive system. It attacks the testosterone in males and the reproductive as far as females. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. But fortunately, there are some lawyers that are making a suit, a class action suit, and hopefully very, very soon, these people are going to be involved in court. Of course, they'll have to spend millions of dollars on attorneys. But what we need to do is get this information out across America. And right now, we've got Jacqueline calling us from Austin, Texas. Hi, Jacqueline. How are you?
Hello, doctor.
Now, how are you listening to us down there? Are you listening to us on the radio?
Yes, I am. I'm listening on 90.1
All right.
FM.
All right, fine. And that's 90.1 FM. Then, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, I do. I have a question and then a comment for later on.
Okay.
First of all, I'm interested in this segment particularly because I have been diagnosed, doctor, with lymphedema. I have several tumors or mass or whatever you want to call them throughout my body. Specifically right now, they're in the neck area. It originally started out with one on one side of my neck, and then now it's on the other side, and there's several on the other side, and there's one even growing up in my face. I did have a biopsy done, and they said originally that it was benign, but I mean they're just everywhere now, and I've got one in the back of my head now, and I'm now starting to somewhat have these nosebleeds. Now I can tell you that I for several years have drank the diet drinks, and I specifically eat nothing NutraSweet unless it's got NutraSweet in the little pink package.
Well, let me tell you, the first thing I would do would be to stop taking that.
I was listening to you on the radio, and I said I've got to stop taking it.
You sure do, but I really can't comment other than the fact that you shouldn't be taking that, whether it has any relationship to what you're talking about. I don't know, but whatever you've got, you know, sounds serious. What does your doctor tell you?
Well, they originally told me, doctor, that I wasn't supposed to. I mean, just that it was lymphedema. I didn't get anything on don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, don't, you know. But listening to you, I thought, my God, they should have told me not to eat this kind of stuff.
Well, they really don't know because, of course, this is a great cover-up. And unless you listen to a programmer's eyes, and then if you get up on the Internet and start looking at, let me suggest a couple of, do you have access to a computer?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, doorway.com. That's www.doorway, D-O-R, not two O's, just one O, doorway.com. And then, of course, WNHO.org.
WNHO.org
and doorway.com.
Okay.
You get started, go through those, and you'll get your eyes opened, you know, about what's really going on. And there's a lot more we'll help you with later if you'd like.
Yes, there is. And doctor, I know that we're on the air and I can't talk to you about it, but I'm very, very interested in talking to you specifically about last night's segment.
All right, fine. I'll tell you what. You have our 800 number. You give me a call tomorrow. I'll be glad to talk to you, okay?
What time would be good for me to call?
Oh, call about 11 o'clock your time. That'll be 9 o'clock my time. Okay?
I will, doctor.
God bless.
And I think that you're doing a terrific job.
Thanks.
Thank
bye-bye.
You so much. Goodbye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're just talking to Jacqueline down there in Texas, and I really can't tell over the telephone what's going on with her. Have you ever heard anything like the story she was just telling there, Corey?
Not with tumors all throughout the body, although I have heard quite a bit about brain tumors.
Right, and of course, there seems to be a very definite relationship we know within animals and brain tumors, but apparently they did some studies on poor people in some villages in South America, and they found it was not only testicular tumors and pancreatic tumors and brain tumors, and we'll have to get to the whole long list of those things, but the average American is never told that. The studies were never published. Why? Well, think of the criminal liability. When they know this is producing tumors, and of course, they've foisted it on the public. Well, let's go right now to John, who's calling from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, John.
Hello there, doctor. I was just wanted to mention that there's another thing that might be avoided if a person's attempting to get over a phenylalanine or a aspartame toxicity, and that is the synergistic effect of L-cysteine. What a lot of people don't realize is there's rich natural sources of that, such as eggs and so forth. And the eggs, undercooked or raw eggs, have often been, they're a wonderful antioxidant, and they're a cure for a hangover and so forth, but it's not probably a good idea because of the synergistic effect of the two. I know reading Dr. Blalock's website that the N-acetylcysteine supplement doesn't have that problem.
I talked to him about that about a week and a half ago, and he said that when those things are put into combination, they're okay, but when they're separated out, like L-cysteine is, that's where the problem comes in.
Okay, well now tell our listeners about the L-cysteine. This is an amino acid, isn't it?
Yes, so is a supplement.
Okay.
And also it's rich, it's naturally occurring in food. As she says, that if when you get the amino acids in a food, like in a protein, then it's not a problem because each has equal access to the blood-brain barrier. But when they're used singly, then they have drug-like effects, and you got to treat them with a lot of caution.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to say, John?
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. That was John from Post Falls, Idaho. And, of course, our telephone number, we'll give it again in just a moment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And my plea to you out in the listening audience is get informed, The websites are there. We have all sorts of books and tape sets. Your health is your business, not the government's, believe me. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett, and of course she has a wonderful video which we do carry. It's called Sweet Misery, and it is simply the trip that she took as she goes around the country talking to the people, and you'll actually see the interviews with various people on the poison that is in so many of the foods we're giving to today, or giving to our children, or in our diet cola and diet drinks, and that is NutraSweet aspartame. Now, it's very interesting. I understand, Corey, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that Pepsi is suddenly, now that these lawsuits are coming out, they're suddenly decided they're going to change the sweetener in their diet to Pepsi. Is that true?
That's what I've heard, and apparently they're marketing it as we're going into a new era, we're going into a new time, move forward. But that's what I've heard, that they are taking it out.
All
and
right,
I
fine.
Think it might be a little bit of a different thing.
All right, fine. I think that this is what we've heard as well. Perhaps somebody out there would know more about it. But we've got to get this out of everything. And you hate to have to go to lawsuits to do this, but unfortunately, the FDA is not going to do what's right. The companies are not going to do what's right as long as they can get away with it. And then, of course, when you try to sue them, why, they'll fight you with a multi-million dollar law firms that, you know, and then they'll drag this out and you'll appeal it and they'll fight you and you'll win the case and then they refuse to pay you. And they, of course, will spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to keep from playing a small claim. But we're going to have to rely upon good lawyers to stop this. Because this is destroying our society. And there's so many things out there that are poisons, and you're not going to hear about this through regular channels. Well, now, as you traveled around, of course, did you meet other people that had had neurological problems such as you had had and had improved after they'd gotten off of aspartame?
Yes. I talked to a woman who had all sorts of different issues with it. She got to the point where she couldn't drive. She said that she had gone to, I think, about 40 different doctors. It was just a nightmare, it sounded like. And her symptoms have gone away since she stopped using it. I talked to a couple of other people who had brain tumors and also had MS. And the MS people have shown improvement. The brain tumors, they did have to get an operation, but they're doing fine now as well.
Well, now, what about the relationship between aspartame, NutraSweet, and convulsions?
Oh, yes, that's a big one. Aspartame can trigger seizures in people, and not everybody is affected that way, but some people can have big-time seizures. I heard about one person who was driving in his car when he had a seizure and was, I think, jailed for a few years, but I don't know a whole lot of details about that.
No, of course, have seizures, you're not allowed to drive your car. So why would you want to take something that predisposes you to having convulsions? And this is not an uncommon affair, is my understanding. Have you looked into that at all? The relationship between the tumors and, pardon me, between the convulsions and the use of NutraSweet products?
Well, it can cause those, and that what I've heard from people is that when they get off of aspartame, then they get better from that.
Well, have you ever heard that many times this will cause girls to go through premature puberty, that'll actually, of course, alter their endocrine balance and push them into menarche earlier?
That makes sense.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest this afternoon or this evening, Corey Brackett. She has produced a video. It's called Sweet Misery, and it goes into the trips that she took around the country, just talking to various experts on the dangers of this product, which is in almost everything you're going to be eating in America today. And, of course, many times you're going to go to restaurants, they'll sneak that in without your knowledge, or they'll sneak in MSG. And both of them are cytotoxins. Now, they actually break down into really some very dangerous products. What do you recall what the breakdown products of, say, of NutraSweet are?
Yes, there are three breakdown products. One is phenylalanine, which breaks down further into a brain tumor or a carcinogen, a known carcinogen called diketopeperazine. And another one is aspartic acid, which we talked about earlier, that was shown to cause holes in the brains of lab rats. And the third one is an old friend, methanol, wood alcohol, the same thing that caused people to go blind during Prohibition. And that breaks down further into formaldehyde. So those are fairly nasty substances. And what is often said by people who try to claim that aspartame is okay is that, oh, there's more methanol in fruits, for example, than in aspartame. The thing about that statement is that methanol in fruits binds to something called pectin, which the body can't absorb, and it flows right through the body. It's fine. There's no problem with fruits. But with aspartame, it's free methyl alcohol, and it's a smaller percentage than the other breakdown components, but the body can't get rid of it. It accumulates there, and that becomes the problem.
Okay, and so, but methanol, of course, we know produces blindness. This is a terrible, terrible a substance, and is one of the definite breakdown products of aspartame. When you take it, this breaks down in your body and produces these various products. Certainly, what's the relationship between fetal aniline and this phenylketonuria? This is certainly one, CPK, I think is what they call it. It's something very, very dangerous as far as children are concerned. Is there any relationship between those diseases, do you know?
Yes. Well,
phenylketonuria, I suppose, is what
they
call it.
They can't process the phenylalanine. They have a problem with that. So that's why there has to be that warning label for strange reasons. They allow that to happen for the for aspartame, because they have problems with it too, definitely. But the interesting thing is, we were talking earlier about pregnancy, and there are a lot of people who are PKU carriers out there that don't even know it. And when they are, and they're pregnant, and they're drinking an aspartame-containing product, they have a higher rate of absorption of these substances into the fetus, and they can cause more brain damage and problems with the fetus than if they were not a PKU carrier. But nobody knows that unless they're tested.
And you say, well, why would they allow something like this? Well, if you understand that there really are people out there in the world who would like to kill off most of the world's population, this really all begins to make sense. And for those of you who are skeptical about that statement or think that that's a terrible thing to say, let me suggest that you get hold of the UNESCO Courier for November of 1991. Jacques Cousteau, you remember Jacques Cousteau, he's out there swimming with the dolphins, and this great humanitarian. Well, he's quoted in this publication put out by the United Nations, UNESCO, as saying that we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. 350,000 people a day. It's a terrible thing to say, but we've just got to get the Earth back into balance. And so there are many people who really believe that human beings are a scourge on the Earth, and it would be better if we could kill off large numbers of them. And we're killing off large numbers in Africa today. We never even talk about the 3 million that they've slaughtered over there in the Congo with the various governments that we brought to power, sending their military forces in there to slaughter the natives. And of course, we very seldom talk about the 2 million that have been killed in southern Sudan. We're very concerned about what's going on in Darfur, and that's a terrible tragedy. 20 million have died of AIDS in Africa. And I believe that this is a genetically engineered organism, and we can certainly document that for anybody who wants to see the documents from government testimony. Dr. MacArthur, back in 1969, testifying before the House Appropriations Committee, we have the testimony. Anybody wants to see it, talking about how if they just give him $10 million, they could come up with this new organism for which there'd be no immunological response. But, of course, some people were concerned it would be a method of mass killing. A method of mass killing. And some people were concerned about that, but they still wanted the money to create this new organism. So we really are dealing with people who have a different worldview, and when you understand that, then the things we're talking about tonight and the human suffering that is being created, not by accident, but with full knowledge of the scientific implications of what we're talking about, they know it produces tumor. How many people do you know, if you're listening in the audience, do you know who have tumors now? We never used to see cancers like we're seeing today. You remember we started a war on cancer back in 1965 under the Johnson administration. We had a war on cancer, and boy, we've been successful. We have more cancer than ever before. But maybe that war wasn't being waged against cancer. It was being waged against the American people. So the studies that show all the various cancers that aspartame produces in human beings, not just in animals, and Betty Martini, who we've talked to many times, actually has those studies and will be making those available to our listeners as well. Well, what are some of the other things that you learned, Carrie, in your studies and in your travels?
A very interesting thing was the Bressler Report in 1977 that studied aspartame, and these are some of the things that they did to say that it was okay. One animal, for example, was reported alive at week 88, dead from week 92 through 104, alive again miraculously at 108, and finally died at week 112.
Now, how did they get this dead animal to come back to life?
Well, therein lies the question. These were all mentioned in the way that the report was presented, but then when they was gone back to investigate that report, these were some of the things that they looked into with some of the other tests.
Well, I think there's been a lot of fraudulent scientific analysis. I think that large sums of money were paid to get favorable scientific studies, but of course, as you pointed out earlier, all of the studies that were done that were paid for by the Cyril and other drug companies were favorable. All the studies that were done independently were highly critical and frightened to death at the thought that these products were going to be unleashed on the American people. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Well, that's what Ralph Walton's study of the studies showed for sure. I know that another study that was done early on, a Weissman study, it was a 52-week toxicity study on infant monkeys. And for that study, 7 monkeys were fed aspartame with milk. And 5 of the monkeys had grand mal seizures on this study, and 1 died.
So, but of course, these are efforts to find out what it's going to do with human beings. So, despite all these studies of that sort, they went ahead and legalized it anyway, under the urging of Donald Rumsfeld, that man who has done such a great job progressing the war over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the whole issue with Abu Ghraib, and you look at what he's doing today, and it kind of makes you wonder.
Well, it makes you wonder that it would be very difficult to have done such a poor job unintentionally. And you would have think, of course, that he would have been fired and relieved of his command, unless, of course, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Well, of course, what sort of response are you getting? Because I know you must be appearing on lots of radio programs and talking about your video, which, incidentally, we recommend to our listeners. We are carrying it because we think it's an important video. Got a lot of interesting things, and you're going to meet a lot of the doctors who've done the studies on this. And as they begin to share with Corey, recorded on television for you, their grave concern about the mass poisoning of the American public. What sort of response do you get as you tell people about this? Are they skeptical, or do some of them begin to suspect that maybe we have been lied to?
Well, it's amazing. When we first started working on the documentary, people would look at us like we were crazy. They could not figure out why we were doing this at all. And then, now that we've done the project and we talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard that there are problems with that. And then when they see the documentary, they're convinced. I just had a woman come into our office today who saw the documentary, and she went and was so moved by it that she showed it to her science students in school. And a lot, most of the people who get it have been, or the majority, I would say, have been doctors, although it's good for the general public, too, but a lot of them have been doctors, and a lot of them have ordered more than one copy.
Corey, are you doing much in the way of talk radio?
Hello?
Yes, are you doing much in the way of talk radio?
Yeah, we've been doing some. I wasn't expecting the medical question, so I'm sorry that sometimes I had a little bit of a brain lapse. Sometimes I still have memory issues.
Sure. Well, the memory is getting a lot better, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, every day it seems like I'm able to think a little bit more clearly and remember a little bit more and not leave my keys somewhere that I can't find them.
Well, I still have that problem, because I don't use NutriSweet at all and haven't had MS, but I think those, I wouldn't worry about that sort of thing. Well, now, Corey, now, as you, your physical condition is considerably improved, and, you know, as I recall watching the video, there were several people there that had actually had neurological problems. Did many of them actually improve after they'd gotten off the NutriSweet?
Yes. We've seen a lot of improvements, and actually, I think in Dr. Roberts' book, there are thousands of cases that are documented, and he has personally talked to several people. I know that in, I think it was 1988, there were 80% of the complaints to the FDA that were mentioned in their own publication had to do with aspartame.
80% of their own, of the FDA complaints were related to aspartame. What did the FDA do about it?
From one source that I talked to, they referred them over to the AIDS hotline.
To the AIDS hotline?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds logical. We'll be back in just a moment with Corey Brackett to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we've had a fascinating hour talking to Corey about her experiences, about traveling across the country. And you're, of course, you'll actually see her in the car as she goes from area to area, trying to reach people who know part of this amazing story of the poison that has been put into our foods. And isn't it even put into some baby foods as well? Do they put NutraSweet into a sweetener in any baby products, do you know?
Aspartame, I'm not sure, but with MSG, that was what got Dr. John Olney interested in aspartic acid in the first place. He was the guy that helped to get MSG out of baby food, because there were these problems associated with MSG.
Was he able to get it out of the baby food?
Yes.
Right. But let me, for our listeners out there, both MSG and NutraSweet are excitotoxins. They both work through the same channels, destructive of the brain. This is the incredible thing. They're destructive of the brain, and yet, of course, they're in almost all of the prepared foods and many of the prepared soups, and they really give them additional flavor as they destroy your mind. So, you know, what is the parting thought you would like to leave with our listeners this evening, Corey?
Well, I really am a firm believer in making informed decisions and having an awareness of what's going on within your body, and not always blindly following the authority you know, although that is important, and I'm not saying that you should just ignore them, but to consider other options, at least to get a second opinion.
Now, of course, have you been to other doctors as far and talked to other doctors about your MS besides the neurologist that you had?
Yes, I went to one. My large lesion that she was so shocked at when I went to see her the first time, by the way, is showing significant improvement and is all but gone, by the way. And I have seen other doctors, but it's such a controversial subject, and the pharmaceutical companies are so tightly involved with most doctors nowadays that unfortunately has not been too changed, except for the people that I have talked with in working on this documentary.
Well, our job is going to get the word out to the doctors, and we hope that the people in the audience will check the facts out and then help us get the truth to the doctors so they can help their patients. God bless you. Thanks so very much for being with us, Corey, and thank you very much for making your video.
Sweet
well,
thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Our guest this evening has been Corey Brackett. Her video, Sweet Misery. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, if you are in the Monterey Bay area where I live, there is going to be a prayer meeting and really to pray for America, to pray for our country, to pray for the upcoming election. It's going to be held at the Holiday Inn at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. That's at 611 Ocean Street, the 611 Ocean Street here in Santa Cruz. And, of course, there's no admission. We'd love to see you there. And I just think people should be concerned about what's happening to America. Then, of course, I want to tell our people from out across America that we do carry the video Sweet Misery, and it will be coming out with a DVD later, but it's not available. It won't be probably until the first of the year, but we do have the video, and it is very well done. We have a four-tape set on aspartame and MSG, and we'll give you the information you need to know about this so you can begin to talk about it intelligently. We have, of course, the book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, by Dr. Russell Blaylock. That's Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, by Dr. Blaylock. We still think that his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, is something that everybody should have because it goes into mercury, goes into fluoride, it goes into aspartame, it goes into so many things that you need to know about just from general health points of view. And it's almost like an encyclopedia. I know my wife refers to it very frequently. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And it goes into the vaccination programs that they have and, of course, which ones are beneficial and which ones are really very dangerous for you and for your children. And then, of course, we have Dr. Roberts' excellent book. I believe it's called Aspartame, The Ignored Epidemic. That's Aspartame, The Ignored Epidemic. And there is an epidemic of diseases that are being created. Dr. Roberts' book is over 1,000 pages. And he's an endocrinologist. And he talks about how it not only will actually exaggerate or aggravate existing diabetes, but how it can actually produce juvenile diabetes. This is my understanding. You need to get this information not only for your health, but for your family and for your friends. So this information is all available from Radio Liberty. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, I want to mention that we are having a day-long seminar on the 6th of November. That's a Saturday. And it's here in the Monterey Bay area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And lunch is going to be served. The program is going to start at 8:45. You probably want to get there 15 minutes to 30 minutes early. And, of course, there'd be a lot of products there, a lot of things that you want to see. And then, of course, we will go right on through till 5 o'clock in the evening. There will be, of course, lunch will be served. We need to know how many people are going to be there. So if you're thinking of coming or you're planning on coming, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to make a reservation. We'll send you a map so that you'll be able to find the spot. And it's a beautiful location here and beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. So that is Saturday, the 6th of November. That's, what, 2 weeks from tomorrow, seems like. It's coming very, very quickly. And we're, of course, our next guest is going to be with us this evening is Arthur Bernclough. And Arthur is going to be joining us there at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will seriously consider doing the same thing. Well, of course, this is the time then we have to say goodbye to our listeners up in the Great Northwest, certainly on the American Christian Network there. But, of course, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. You can go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, you can listen to our shortwave programs. Incidentally, our this program... the evening shortwave program was heard on two sites. One site is 5.315. That's going to change to 6.095. That's 6.095. The other, of course, will remain at the same. Till Monday, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Our guest, special guest this evening, Arthur Bernclough, who is a veterans advocate, and he is trying to get the care that the government has promised to give our veterans, and is finding one reason or another not to give them. I recently read there's some 300,000 veterans who are applying for disability benefits to the Veterans Administration, and they're so backlogged they just don't know what to do. As of right now, they're very, very close to 30,000 casualties from the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. Now, that's irrespective of the number of died. We're told that 1,000 or 550, maybe by now close to 1,100 of our young men and women have died in Iraq. Have you noticed they never talk about all those who've died in Afghanistan, too? And that is certainly several hundreds by this time, as the war will drag on and on and on and on. But there are about 30,000 casualties in addition to those that have died. These are people who, of course, lost an arm or a leg or were blinded or infirm, but that's only about 6,000 or so. There are the rest of them are people with these bizarre diseases, bizarre complaints, very similar to what they had with the Gulf War illness. And incidentally, within the last 2 weeks, why the a special committee put forward by the Veterans Administration or has come forward and said, oh, we were wrong. There really is a Gulf War illness. There are these complaints by these 200,000 or 400,000 Gulf War veterans. They think they say about 30% of them in this article. About 30% of the young men and women we sent overseas to fight for America back in 1990 and 91 in the first Gulf War, that Gulf War that was actually contrived by George Herbert Walker Bush. And if you haven't read the book, Bush, I think it's called Six Presidents, where Bob Woodward tells about the meeting held in the White House, and there was James Baker, and there was the Secretary of State, and of course, they wanted to negotiate with Saddam Hussein and get him to pull his troops out, and the President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush, said, no, we've got to have this war. We don't want to negotiate. We don't want to give him a chance to pull his troops out. We have to have this war. That's what Woodward reported, and nobody's ever denied it. We have to have this war. That was the first war, and at least 30% of those people are ill. Well over 10,000. Some people say 20 or 30,000 have died after they came home. We didn't lose many during the battle. We've lost an awful lot of them since then. But anyway, Arthur, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you for inviting me back again, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure to be on Radio Liberty with you.
Well, Arthur, tell us what's happening to our veterans. What's happening to the boys and girls that are coming back now trying to get help in the Veterans Hospital? Are they able to get adequate care?
No, they're not getting it, and 300,000 is a fairly conservative figure. The amount is up to at least 300,000 and climbing all the time of people who are applying for disability benefits and not getting it. The Veterans Administration will purposely keep them going forever and ever and ever until they outlast them. And there's an old saying with the government, veterans come and go, but the VA is here to stay.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Arthur Bernclau talking about the tragic situation that so many of our veterans find themselves in. And thank goodness we've got people like Arthur who's there to help them. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening, Arthur Bernclau will tell us what your take is on what is taking place within the Veterans Administration today. Of course, our president says, you know, our boys and girls were so dedicated to them for fighting for freedom, and of course, we're going to be sure they get the best of care, the best of weapons when they're over in Iraq, and of course, the best of care when they come home. Well, we know they're not getting the best of weapons over there. A group just literally mutinied because they didn't have armored of vehicles, they didn't have any support, they didn't have any cover, and they were being sent with gasoline that was contaminated, wouldn't have been much good, on what they felt was a suicide mission, and there wasn't any armor on their vehicle. So they're going through hostile territory, and they could certainly, all you need is simply one bullet right through one of those big gasoline tankers, and the whole thing goes up in a sheet of flame, and everybody's incinerated. And they just said, we're not going to do it. Well, this is a terrible thing because it shows a total breakdown in the morale, and you can't have an army when people are saying, we're not going to follow orders. On the other hand, you never give an order that is going to endanger people's lives unnecessarily. And we're having real problems, and if that's the sort of treatment they're getting when they're fighting over there and they don't even have armored vests for most of the people, they're having to buy them themselves on eBay, what sort of veterans care are they really getting? Pick up the story, Arthur.
Things over there are almost at a breakdown when it comes to, military... when it comes to keeping the military in line, they've always been able to keep the military in line, but everyone who's over there, everyone who's laying their life on the line, who has been put in harm's way, knows that this is a war for oil. This is a war for greed and profit. It's a war for no other purpose but this, and everyone is saying to themselves and to other soldiers and to everyone they talk to when they come back here, why are we over there? There's no logical reason that we're over there. There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was nothing like that.
Well, they just had faulty intelligence. It was just a terrible mistake.
No, I said that in the beginning. I said faulty intelligence, but they're in there for one reason. They're in there to suck as much oil out of that country as they can. They're in there for their insane dream of... building an imperialist system over there. And I think they call it
empire.
Empire, that's the word. You've got the word. Empire building. We're there for that. We're going to be in Syria, and we're going to be in Iran, and we're going to be all over the map. And unless the people in this country wake up and throw these fakers out of office, I can see nothing good happening.
Oh, hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations back on board right now. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Bernthal. And Arthur, go ahead.
Okay, let me get one item here out of the way before we go on to talk about the veterans issue here. And it's a Social Security watch. It's New Life's wake-up call, New Life magazine. And this is very interesting, and it's something that even those of us who are not collecting should now take a look at seriously. Now, since many of us have paid into FICA for years, we're now receiving a Social Security check, and they're now receiving a Social Security check every month, and then finding that we are getting taxed on 85% of the money we paid to the federal government to put away. And you may be interested in the following. Immigrants moved into this country and at 65 received Social Security. The government gave that to them, although they never paid a dime into it. Now, perhaps we're asking the wrong questions during election years. Our senators and congressmen and women do not pay into Social Security, and of course they do not collect from it. You see, Social Security benefits were not suitable for persons of their rare elevation in society. They felt they should have a special plan for themselves, so many years ago they voted in their own benefit plan, and in more recent years, no congressperson has felt the need to change it. After all, it is a great plan. For all practical purposes, their plan works like this. When they retire, they continue to draw the same pay until they die, except it may increase from time to time for cost of living adjustments. Here, for example, former Senator Byrd and Congressman White and their wives may expect to draw $7,800,000. That's $7,800,000, with their wives drawing $275,000 during the last years of their lives. This is calculated on an average lifespan for each. Their cost for this excellent plan is zero. Nada. Zilch. Not a cent. This little perk they voted for themselves is free to them. You and I pick up the tab for this plan. The funds for this fine retirement plan come directly from the general funds, our tax dollars at work. From our own Social Security plan, which you and I pay and have paid or have paid into every payday until we retire, which amount is matched by our employer, we can expect to get an average of approximately $1,000 a month after retirement. Or in other words, we would have to collect our average of $1,000 monthly benefits for 68 years and 1 month to equal Senator Bill Bradley's benefits, retired of New Jersey. Social Security could be very good if only one small change were made, and that change would be to jerk the Golden Fleece retirement plan from under the senators and congressmen and put them into the Social Security plan with the rest of us. And then we can all sit back and watch how fast they would fix it. And if enough people hear me talking about this, maybe a seed of awareness will be planted and maybe some good changes will evolve.
But don't you think that these people, these men who've dedicated their lives to the legislature and passing laws and looking after us, don't you think that that they are deserving, far more deserving than you and I? Don't you think that we should have sort of an aristocracy, a ruling aristocracy? And of course, if we give them these good pensions, they're not going to, of course, compromise their positions when they're in office, because they don't need the money. They're going to be taken care of the rest of their lives. Isn't this why we take such good care of them? They get free health care. They get this wonderful pension benefit. And aren't they really deserving, because they've done such a fine job for the rest of us as they've taken us from war to war?
That's right. You got it, Dr. Stan. And look at it this way. Most of these guys, when they retire, go on to another career in Washington and become lobbyists and make even more money as a lobbyist than they made in Congress.
Well, the tragedy is, I think that what we should do is look over their record, and anyone who has ever violated his oath to uphold the Constitution should lose his goodies, and I would suggest that there probably would be only one or two, maybe a half a dozen at the most, who would be entitled to draw their pension, because they've all violated their law, their oath to uphold the Constitution and protect it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Most of the greatest enemies of the Constitution are not foreign. They're domestic, and many of them are sitting in our legislative halls across America today.
Well, I'd like to say a few words also, Dr. Stan. A couple of months ago, we had Donald Rumsfeld was supposed to be asked to step down in reference to his Iraq situation. And there was a hearing in Washington, and the thing was buried. The thing was absolutely buried. And I'd like to call your attention to when Donald Rumsfeld, for anyone who doesn't know, is the Secretary of Defense. We refer to him as Rummy from time to time. And he used to be CEO of G.D. Searle, manufacturers of aspartame. And for those of you who don't know what aspartame is, for 16 years, the FDA refused to approve aspartame, not only because it's not safe, but because they wanted the company indicted for fraud, G.D. Searle. Now, both the United States prosecutors hired on with the defense team, and the statute of limitations expired. They were Sam Skinner and William Conlin. Skinner went on to become Secretary of Transportation, squelching the cries of pilots who were now having seizures on this seizure-triggering drug, aspartame. And then, Chief of Staff under President Bush's father. Now, some of these people reach high places. Even Justice Clarence Thomas is a former Monsanto attorney. Monsanto bought G.D. Searle in 1985 and sold it a few years ago. And when Ashcroft became Attorney General, Thompson from King & Spalding Attorneys, another former Monsanto attorney group, became a deputy under Ashcroft. And they were attorneys for NutraSweet and Coke. However, the FDA still refused to allow NutraSweet on the market. It's a deadly neurotoxic drug masquerading as an additive. It interacts with all antidepressants, levodopa, Coumadin, hormones, insulin, or cardiac medications, and many others. It's also a chemical hypersensitization drug, and it also interacts with vaccines and other toxins. Other unsafe sweeteners like Splenda, which has a chlorinated base like DDT and can cause autoimmune disease. It has a synergistic and additive effect with MSG, both being excitotoxins. The aspartic acid and aspartame and MSG, the glutamate, people were found using aspartame as the placebo for MSG studies. And Donald Rumsfeld was on President Reagan's transition team, and the day after he took office, appointed an FDA commissioner who would approve aspartame. And I don't want to get into this aspartame too deeply, because we'll be talking about this the entire night, but there is a website that we could find out more information. There is a Dr. Betty Martini.
No, she's not a doctor. She's just Mrs. Martini, but she's got an awful lot of information.
Well, she's the founder of Mission Possible. And they're in 9270 River Club Parkway, Duluth, Georgia, 30097. And she's got a website, http://www.wnho.net. And you can reach her on that and also the Mission Impossible International health site. And this is really an eye-opener if you get all the information that you can out of those websites. It's an eye-opener with this aspartame. And this aspartame, they've now found a good possible link between the Lou Gehrig's disease that has been coming up with people who served in the Gulf. They feel that a lot of this sodas have sat out in 120-degree temperature and have boiled over and have causing a possible cause for this Lou Gehrig's disease, because the rate is about 50-to-1 chances, 50-to-1, that if you've served in the Gulf, you may come down with Lou Gehrig's disease. And they're looking for a link in there, and this is a possible link. They haven't connected it up directly yet, but it is a possible link.
Well, they certainly have accepted the fact that if you serve in the Gulf and you have Lou Gehrig's disease, that, of course, is service-related. So because, of course, there are almost double the incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease in the young men who went to the Gulf. So you're absolutely right. And of course, there is another website, that's doorway.com. That's Betty Martini's website, www.doorway.com. So that the two websites, the other one, that the WHNO, let's see, is it World Health?
I'll tell you in a second. I had it down here.
WHNO, I think, is .net. Anyway, it's an excellent website. Go ahead, Arthur.
All right, I have a message here that came in. This is from an Army Reserve chaplain. Calls himself Bible Bum. It's an interesting email from a chaplain in the Army Reserve who's been called to active duty to support our troops in Iraq. And it's a new twist to this Iraq thing. A lot of people may agree, a lot of people may disagree. I'm going to withhold my opinion on this for now until I know a little bit more, but this is the email that I got. There are psychology operations personnel who speak the local languages and work with the people. Thus, he has a good perspective to what's really going on in Iraq, and he writes, "Hi, all. In light of today's death toll in Al-Fallujah, I'd like to offer you a different view than you may see on your TV news." I hear the music in the background.
You do, and so we'll be taking a break here, and then, of course, when we get back, we'll be talking to Arthur Bernclough. We'll welcome your calls across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we are in a terrible, terrible situation over there. I think we have to do everything we can to back the boys, but do you back them keeping them there? Do you back them by saying, let's get them home just as soon as we can? Because they've just building 14 major bases over there. Plus the largest American embassy anywhere in the world. Do you really think we're planning on bringing them home? I think we ought to bring them home to tomorrow.
Immediately.
Well, our guest this evening is Arthur Bernclough, who is a veterans advocate. So pick up your story there, Arthur.
Okay, this is an email from a chaplain in Iraq. "Hi, all. In light of today's death toll in Al-Fallujah, I'd like to offer you a different view than you may see on your TV news. First, I'm not one that bashes the media for bias. Yes, they have bias, don't we all? But I'm not one who sees conspiracy. But I have noticed that deaths in Iraq get a whole lot more attention than the good things that happen here. A whole lot more attention, so here's some background on Al-Fallujah to keep in mind. Why is it in the news almost every night? Because it is one of the few places in all of Iraq where trouble exists. Iraq has 25 million people and is the size of California. Fallujah and surrounding towns total 500,000 people. Do the math. That's not a big percentage of Iraq. How many people were murdered last night in L.A.? Did it make headline news? Why not? Saddam could not and did not control Fallujah. He bought off those that he could, he killed those that he couldn't, and he played all leaders against one another. It was and is a difficult town. Nothing new about that. What is new is that outside people have come in to stir up unrest. How many are there? That's classified, but let me tell you this. There are more people in northeast Minneapolis gangs than there are causing havoc in Fallujah. Are you surprised? And why does it get so much coverage? Because the major news outlets have camera crews permanently posted in Fallujah. So if you are from outside Iraq and you want to get airtime for your cause, where would you go to terrorize, bomb, mutilate, and destroy? You'd go to Al-Fallujah. Why does it seem to be getting worse? Two answers. This country became a welfare state under Saddam. If you cared about your welfare, you towed the line or died. The state did your thinking and your bidding. Want a job? Pledge allegiance to the Ba'ath Party. Want an apartment, a car, etc.? Show loyalty. Electricity, water, sewerage, etc. was paid by the state. Go with the flow. Life is good. Don't, and you're dead. Now, what does that do to initiative, drive, and industry? So we come along and lock up Sugar Daddy Saddam and give these people the toughest challenge in the world, freedom. If you want a job, earn it. A house, buy it or build it. Security, build the police force, army, and militia, and give it to yourself. Risk your lives and earn freedom. The good news is that millions of Iraqis are doing just that, and many are paying with their lives. But many, many are struggling with freedom, just like East Germans, Russians, Czechs, etc. And they want a sugar daddy, the USA, to do it all. We refuse. We don't want to be plantation owners. We make it clear we're here to help, not own or stay. They get mad about that sometimes. Nonetheless, in Fallujah, the supposed hotbed of dissent in Iraq, countless Iraqis tell our psyopers that they want to cooperate with us, but they're afraid the thugs will slit their throats or kill their kids. A bad gang can do that to a neighborhood in the town, and that's what's happening here. We have a battle hand going on. We have a battle hand off going on here, the largest in recent American history. The Army is passing the baton to the Marines in this area. There is uncertainty among the populace and misinformation being given out by the bad guys. As a result, there is insecurity, and the bad guys are testing the resolve of the Marines, and indirectly, you, the American people. The bad guys are convinced that Americans have no stomach for a long-haul effort here. And they're right about that. They want to drive us out of here and resurrect a dictatorship of one kind or another. And that's what will happen when they leave.
Hold that thought for just a moment here, Arthur. We're going to bring our stations back on board.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Arthur is reading an email he'd gotten from somebody over in Iraq who is saying that most of the people in Iraq, you know, are not involved in active revolt. They're just trying to live their lives and, of course, to get ahead and reestablish some form of life in an unsettled country. But there are a small group of people dedicated to terrorists in a place like Fallujah. If the people wanted to get rid of them, they'd be afraid to take a stand on them because they'd be killed. So the average citizen, even the city leaders, are caught in the middle. I mean, they can't take a stand, or they and their families' lives are at hand. If they don't take a stand, of course, we're going to come in and destroy the city, and of course, wipe out large neighborhoods with all the people in them. It's a sort of a lose-lose situation, and there the people are caught in the middle. So pick up the story from there, Arthur.
Well, they're terrorized by these thugs, Dr. Stan. Okay, what do we do? Now, this gentleman says, we stay the course. The Marines will get into a battle rhythm, and along with other forces and government agencies here, they will knock out the crack houses, drive the thugs across the border, and set the conditions for the Fallujans to join the Freedom Parade or not in their lack of initiative. Either way, the choice will be theirs. The alternative, turn tail, pull out, and leave a power vacuum that will suck in all of Iraq's neighbors and spark a civil war that could make Rwanda look like a misdemeanor. Hey, America, don't go weak-kneed on us.
Do you know who the man is who sent you this?
This is a chaplain.
But I know, do you know him personally?
No, I don't agree with him.
Do you think
I don't agree with him, I don't disagree with him, but I disagree with some of the statements he's made.
All right. Well, I think it's an impossible situation, but when you don't know, this could very well be a CIA. This should be a propaganda bit, or it could be accurate. You just don't know.
I've gotten emails from him in the past.
All right, but go ahead.
Okay. Now here's a figure that's wrong. Hey, America, don't go weak on us. 585 dead Americans made an investment here. That figure is up to about $1,100 people. And your estimate of 1,100 was pretty close to what is dead there right now. That's a whole lot less than were killed on American highways last month. Their lives are honored when we stay the course and do the job we came to do, namely, set the conditions for a new government and empower these people to be the great nation that they're capable of being. So when you watch the reports from Al-Fallujah, remember, there's more to the story than meets the camera's eyes. God bless, John Biblebum. Now, you made a good statement there a second ago, Dr. Stan, that it could be, he could be a CIA operative sending these things out. And that's a very valid statement, Dr. Stan. Because I get emails from everybody, and that's why I don't sit at my computer all day long sorting these things out, because I'd go blind from these things.
Well, I think that if we were going to hold elections in January and then turn the country over to the Iraqis, I'd be all in favor of that.
Yeah.
I just don't think we're going to do that.
Oh, well, all signs show we're not going to do it. All signs say we're there to stay.
And they see, first of all, you would not be building 14 major camps there, 14 major military facilities. You would not be building the largest embassy, American embassy, anywhere in the world. And then, of course, I read the plan. It's right there in the on the Project for the New American Century website in their publication called Rebuilding America's Defenses. And there they tell you, we want our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. That's what it's all about. So it's all very well and good to say, yes, we want to go there. We want to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he was a wicked man. He was. But everybody's forgotten that we financed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, of course, if you've read the book entitled See No Evil by Robert Baer, you'll find out that after the 1991 war, we kept Saddam Hussein in power. And according to the author of the book, Robert Baer, who actually worked for the CIA, he never met an Iraqi who didn't believe the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. Now, that's a powerful statement. If there's any truth to it, maybe the people who were keeping Saddam Hussein in power are equally guilty to Saddam Hussein,
and
they should meet the same fate.
Now, I've got something else here from Soldiers for the Truth, SFTT, and this is a letter to Colonel David Hackworth. I don't know if you've ever had David Hackworth on.
I never have, and I really would like to. I think he's probably a pretty good guy. Do you know
him? I'm going to contact him and ask him to contact you.
All right, fine. What does this have to say?
We damn sure need you back. Dear Hack, we damn sure need you back. I'm stationed here at Balad, LSA Anaconda. I've been a soldier for 3 decades, and I've never even imagined what goes on here. Guard towers with nobody in them, unless the big brass are coming. Base defense plan ignored. Most of the sea wire for that is laying in the dump. Taxpayers' money spent on palm trees. No 9mm ammunition. There is the almost 2 million rounds of State Department ammo. They must plan on relieving us in place.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Arthur Birnbaum, who's a veterans advocate. And I know this your email you're reading now, do you know who this is from?
It's signed Concerned Sergeant.
Okay, fine. So then this is one from the other side.
This is legitimate.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go ahead and get the rest of his information. And
okay.
We have to, of course, look at everything we get from there. Through the jaundiced eye, is this propaganda?
Absolutely.
Is it anti-war propaganda? Is it pro-administration propaganda?
No, this is on a level.
Okay, go ahead.
They must plan on relieving us in place. We can't touch it. Troops being sent this far north with none, nada. That's no ammunition, no ammo or magazines. The list goes on and on. What happened to lessons learned? Recently I had the misfortune of hearing a radio conversation in the PX between one of the towers and their control, if that's what you want to call it. And it went like this. Tower, I have people setting up a mortar 50 yards outside the wire. Answer, continue to observe. Tower, oh my God, they're shooting. At least 3 rounds, no return fire. Reason, the tower wasn't given permission to fire. Rules of engagement. Another recent incident. Broad daylight, a pickup truck stops near the wire, lets 2 kids out, to walk over to the fence, cut a hole in it, come through the hole, and cut a surface soft water line. Back through the fence, into the pickup, and are driven off in no big hurry. Will I stay in after this deployment? Hell no. And you can count on me to tell everybody who will listen as to why. Signed, the unknown soldier, led by the unknown, unwilling, uncaring. Hack, if they find out who sent this to you, it won't be pretty. They will bake my bacon and get that retirement check. Signed, Concerned Sergeant. And a lot of people are sending anonymous letters. They're afraid to sign their names because they're afraid of retaliation from the military. Don't forget, we still have the Ferris Doctrine. And here's another one. T.X. Ang, needs help. Colonel Hackworth. I had read an article of yours about a guard unit out of Kelly whose enlisted men here those enlisted men were voices, the problems they encountered in Iraq. I found this very interesting and at the same time kind of scary. My unit is preparing to go to Iraq. I had forgotten about that article until we started running into our problems. We've been in Fort Hood for a whole month. That's in Texas. Yet we've only done about 3 days of physical training. A reminder, we are a guard unit. Some of these soldiers are extremely out of shape, which is leading to bigger problems. In our first day of training, we had 16 heat casualties. 16. In a four-day FTX, we had over 40 injuries to do heat and bad training. I would say our leadership, somewhere along the way, forgot we were not full-time soldiers. We are not prepared physically and mentally, and mentally is
hold
going very...
Hold that thought right there. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and he's reading some emails. Now, were these actually sent to Hackworth?
They sure were.
Colonel Hackworth. Go ahead. Are they on his website? How did you get them?
Yes, they would be on his website.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
And of course, he's talking about this one soldier who is apparently with a guard unit. They're being prepared for deployment. And he says, our people are simply not in good physical shape. We've
absolutely
been out doing exercises. We're having heat strokes. We're having all sorts of injuries. And pick up the story from there.
We're not prepared physically, and mentally is going very quick. We live day to day. There is no training schedule nor any kind of a clue what's happening tomorrow. Our CSM has never been active duty, nor has half of our officer leadership. Thanks for reading this letter. I feel you're the man to address this problem, and that's saying concerned soldier. And here's a website that you can pick this up on also. http://snipurl.com/forward.
One more time, slowly.
Okay.
SN, what is it?
It's a website that you can pick this up
right
on if you can't get Colonel Hackworth's
right
website. http://snipurl.com/forward9C01.
Okay, fine.
All right. Now, here is something else here. And this came to me from Bill Brumbaugh on the Proactive News. Original message, far graver than Vietnam. And this was sent by Michael A. Hoffman, the Hoffman Wire. And Bill Brumbaugh sent this to me from his website. Far graver than Vietnam. I supported the war to topple Saddam, but I'm very concerned that we're in for a very long slog before we're going to be able to leave Iraq, and this will contribute to the bankruptcy of the USA, and it is also stretching our troops so very thin that we will be hard-pressed to respond to other military emergencies. And it seems that Bush is not listening to his generals, and this makes a comparison with the disaster of the Battle of Stalingrad more compelling. Would you imagine that? In the following article, please note the red font. Original message from Michael A. Hoffman II, sent Friday, September 17, 2004. The Hoffman Wire dedicated to freedom of the press, investigative reporting, and revisionist history. Okay. Most senior U.S. military officers now believe the war in Iraq has turned into a disaster on an unprecedented scale. And I'm of that opinion myself, Dr. Stan. September 16, 2004, The Guardian, Britain. I think that's the Manchester Guardian. Excerpt. General Hoare believes that the information he has received that a decision has been made to attack Fallujah after the first Tuesday in November, that's coming up shortly, that's the cynical part of it. After the election, the signs are all there. Bring them on, President Bush challenged the early Iraqi insurgency in July of last year. Since then, 812 American soldiers were killed, and 6,290 wounded. That's not a true figure, 6,290. There's been more wounded, according to the Pentagon. Almost every day in campaign speeches, Bush speaks with bravado about how he is winning the war in Iraq. Our strategy is succeeding, he boasted to the National Guard Convention on September 14th. But according to the U.S. military's leading strategists and prominent retired generals, Bush's war is already lost. Retired General William Odom, former head of the National Security Agency, told me Bush hasn't found the weapons of mass destruction. Al-Qaeda, it's worse. He's lost on that front. and he's going to achieve a democracy there, that goal is lost too. It's lost, he adds. Right now, the course we're on the course that we're on, we are achieving Bin Laden's ends. Retired General Joseph Hoar, the former Marine Commandant and head of U.S. Central Command, told me the idea that this is going all the way, is going to go the way these guys planned, is ludicrous. There are no good options. We're conducting a campaign, although it's being conducted in Iowa. No sense of the realities on the ground. It's so unrealistic for anyone who knows that part of the world. The priorities are just all wrong. Jeffrey Record, professor of strategy of the Air War College, said, I see no ray of light on the horizon at all. The worst case has become true. There's no analogy whatsoever between the situation in Iraq and the advantages we had after the Second World War in Germany and Japan. W. Andrew Terrell, professor at the Army War College Strategic Studies Institute and the top expert on Iraq there, said, I don't think you can kill the insurgency. According to Terrell, the anti-U.S. insurgency centered in the Sunni Triangle and holding several cities and towns, including Fallujah, is expanding and becoming more capable as a consequence of U.S. policy. We have a growing, maturing insurgency group, he told me. We see larger and more coordinated military attacks. They are getting better, and they can self-regenerate. The idea that there are X number of insurgents and that when they're all dead, we can get out is wrong. The insurgency has shown an ability to regenerate itself because there are people willing to fill the ranks of those who are killed. Of course, they're fanatics. The political culture is more hostile to the U.S. presence. The longer we stay, the more they are confirmed in that view. And after the killing of four U.S. contractors in Fallujah, the Marines besieged the city for 3 weeks in April, the watershed event for the insurgency. I think the President ordered the attack on Fallujah, said General Hoar. I asked a three-star Marine general who gave the order to go to Fallujah, and he wouldn't tell me. I came to the conclusion that the order came directly from the White House. Then just as suddenly, the order was rescinded, and Islamist radicals gained control using the city as a base. If you are a Muslim and the community is under occupation by a non-Islamic power, it becomes a religious requirement to resist the occupation, Terrell explained. Most Iraqis consider us occupiers, not liberators. He describes the religious imagery common now in Fallujah and the Sunni Triangle. There's talk of angels and the Prophet Muhammad coming down from heaven to lead the fighting. Talk of martyrs whose bodies are glowing and emanating wonderful scents. I see no exit, says Record. We've been down that road before. It's called Vietnamization. Sound familiar to you, Dr. Stan?
Yes, unfortunately it does.
Okay. The idea that we're going to have an Iraqi force trained to defeat an enemy we can't defeat stretches the imagination. They will be tainted by their very association with the foreign occupier. In fact, if we had more time and money in state building in Vietnam than in Iraq. General Odom said this is far graver than Vietnam. There wasn't as much at stake strategically, though in both cases we mindlessly went ahead with the war that was not constructive for U.S. aims, but now we're in a region far more volatile and we're in much worse shape with our allies. Terrell believes that any sustained U.S. military offensive against the no-go areas could become so controversial that members of the Iraqi government would feel compelled to resign. Thus, an attempted military solution would destroy the slightest remaining political legitimacy. If we leave, there's no civil war. That's a victory if we leave. General Hoar believes from the information he has received that a decision has been made to attack Fallujah after the first Tuesday in November. That's the cynical part of it. After the election, the signs are all there. He compares any such planned attack to the late Syrian dictator Hafez al-Assad's raising of the rebel city of Hama. You could flatten it, said Hoar. U.S. military forces would prevail. Casualties would be high. There would be inconclusive results with respect to the bad guys. Their leadership would escape and civilians would be caught in the middle. I hate that phrase, collateral damage. And they talked about dancing in the streets, a beacon for democracy. General Odom remarked that the tension between the Bush administration and the senior military officers over Iraq was worse than any he's ever seen with any previous government, including Vietnam. I've never seen it so bad between the office of the Secretary of Defense and the military. There's a significant majority believing this is a disaster. The two parties whose interests have been advanced have been the Iranians and Al-Qaeda. Bin Laden could argue with some cognizance that our going into Iraq was the equivalent of the Germans in Stalingrad. They defeated themselves by pouring more in there. Tragic. And that's the end of that letter.
Now, who wrote this letter, Arthur?
A fellow by the name of Hoffman. I'll tell you in a second.
Now, is this a letter that's sent to Colonel Hacker?
It was sent to me by Bill Brumbaugh, and it came out of the Hoffman Wire.
Hoffman Wire, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that we're just in such a tragic, tragic situation. I think that they're doing everything they can to get through the election. I think that there may very well be some more fanatical, military action over in Iraq. I think that one of the first things that's going to happen after the election is they're going to ask for another $50 billion to fund what's going on over there. They've run out of money. They know they're going to have to get more money, but they don't want to do it before the election. I think that's the height of hypocrisy.
By the way, Dr. Stan, your estimate of 30,000 American servicemen that were wounded is very close.
That's not actually wounded, in my estimation, at least the figures I have, but they are casualties. In other words, there have been 6,000 or 7,000 wounded, but then there were many, many people who were very ill with these diseases very similar to the Gulf War illness.
Yeah, that's a very, very close estimate here. Because I've gotten a few estimates from people, and they're all around 30,000 people.
Right, and of course the thing is that the American people have to understand that every boy who dies is a tragedy, but every casualty is a tragedy. And we have over somewhere between 2 and 400,000, between 30% and 60% of the boys we sent over to the first Gulf War who are ill today. And now the government, after all these years of lying to us, has suddenly said, oh, shucks, we were wrong. There really is a disease here. These people really are sick. And then they give all these diseases, peridius, stigmin, and that was used on them, vaccines, or the depleted uranium, or the oil fires, or the contact with the poison gas that they denied. They denied, and they denied, and they denied that they were subjected to poison gas, and then they admitted 150,000 of them were. They knew that all along. How can you believe the people? Because they consistently lie. As it has been said, in wartime, the first casualty is truth. And if they lie to you once, you can never believe them again.
That's right. Now, I have a book in front of me by Michael Moore. It's his new book that's out on the stands now. And it's called Will They Ever Trust Us Again? Letters from the War Zone. I won't have time to read what I've got here, but I'm going to give you a couple of things out of here. Dear Michael, my name is Ann Miller and my son Frederick was killed in Iraq from an improvised explosive device on September 20th, 2003. He was going to be the proud father of a baby boy. He has two girls but wanted a son in the worst way, but he never got to meet his son. He believed in protecting his family and this country. He was in the Army for 7 years and got out, but after 9/11 he felt he had a job to do, so he rejoined. I miss him so much, and President Bush is such a liar. When my son was killed, the Army would not pay for us to go to his funeral. Several months later, they offered us to fly us free to meet with President Bush. No thanks. Michael, you tell it like it is, and I respect you. Thank you, and God bless all the other soldiers who are still serving. And it's signed Ann Miller of Hagerstown, Indiana. And this is just a letter that's on the back page of this book. And he put together quite an anthology of letters here.
Well, Chris, the thing is, Michael Moore hates George Bush, and I've seen his Fahrenheit 9/11. It's a very, very provocative movie, but he wants you to vote for John Kerry, and the trouble is that John Kerry is going to continue exactly the same policies. We do not have a choice in November.
Exactly. John Kerry is almost as big a fraud as George Bush.
Well, I think he may even be a bigger fraud, but
the trouble is
we've got a choice between being shot and being hung, and in both cases, you die and America dies. I don't like either choice, and I think it's time that people realize they both belong to the same secret occult society. And the people who have been to the tomb where both of them lived during their senior year at Yale will tell you it is full of occult memorabilia. All sorts of swastikas on the walls. Why would they have swastikas on the walls of this place? Well, because the society originated from a secret organization, a secret society in Bavaria, back in 1832. And, of course, the major driving force behind so many of these secret organizations that swept across Europe during the 19th century was the occult. They were there in the 18th and 19th century, beautifully laid out in the background of a book entitled Fire in the Minds of Men by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress today. Certainly a great scholar, great book. And you understand that the Skull and Bones is an occult organization. I don't feel very good having a choice between two Skull and Bones members there for the presidency
exactly.
of the United States.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm beholden to you for giving me the idea of listening to Michael Petrucca because I'm supporting him for president.
Well, I think that's good. Let's go ahead and talk to Matt from Michigan. We've just got a few more minutes. Hi, Matt. Did you have a question?
Well, Dr. Stan, I did want to bring up Chalmers Johnson, author of the book Sorrows of Empire. It was mentioned earlier, Empire, and Chalmers Johnson in Sorrows of Empire is calling for the termination of the CIA, as John Kennedy had planned to do years ago. Relative to the radical resistors in Fallujah, or wherever it is that they are purportedly acting in a radical manner, I submit to Arthur that, as Dr. Stan has eloquently intimated here, it is, in fact, a genocidal police action for oil conquest. These petrochemical crime families, and there's a retired brigadier general, Russell Bowen, authored the book Immaculate Deception, The Bush Crime Family Exposed, but there are so many, and as is obvious, they're ruthless monopolists. There was even a series called The Prize back in the 80s where it very aptly portrayed the ruthless nature of these Rockefellers, etc. So I think the people of Iraq are merely attempting to defend their, quote, homeland from the imperialistic evil empire that once again is committing genocide, as they did against the Native Americans years ago when they were demonized as savages.
Well, I think that, Matt, it's sort of your perspective. When you're an Iraqi, why you look up to these people as patriots? When we look upon them as terrorists, it's all in your perspective, you know. Because they're opposing us, why they're terrorists, because we're there, they're patriots. So I agree with you. We've got a real problem. We're out of time, but thank you so much. Did you have any quick thing you wanted to say before I let you go?
No, that's it, Dr. Stan. Just I too, am supporting Michael Petrucca, and I try to tell at least six people every day about him and your program.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Matt. Okay, that's Matt calling from Michigan. And, I want you to get out your telephone number because, of course, we've been talking about a lot of things.
Oh,
yet, of course,
that's Arthur, something I keep forgetting to do.
Arthur Barenclough is a advocate for the veterans. And, of course, get your telephone number out, get your address so people can get in touch with you because the veterans are getting a very, very bad deal. You need an advocate, and Arthur's got connections. Go ahead, Arthur.
Well, I'm Arthur Barenclough. I'm Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law. We are a veterans advocacy group. We help veterans get their benefits. We are a free service, and we're not like the DAV, the American Legion, or the rest of them that just give you lip service. We go out and we fight for you. We're at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York. 112 Jefferson Avenue, Port Jefferson, New York. And the zip code is 11777, and I can be reached by phone at...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Okay, Arthur, let's get your telephone number out.
Okay, I can be reached by phone at 631 area code 474-4261. Fax number 631-474-1968. That's telephone 631 area 474-4261. And fax 474-1968. And usually I spend most of my time here ripping the VA, and I promise I'll be back to rip the VA and give them the punishment that they deserve. But right now we're all concerned about an upcoming election, that something's got to be done. We've got to have a change. We can't have these criminals in the White House any longer. It's got to change.
Well, I share your concern that, but I got to be divine intervention if anything is going to change. I think we've got a choice between Bush and Kerry, both coming from the same secret society, both with the same objectives overall, playing a wonderful game, you know, like Amos and Andy, Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, but the truth of the matter is, why, of course, they're both going exactly the same direction. We've got about 2 minutes. Why don't you wrap up your thoughts?
Well, the thought of Kerry coming in scares the hell out of me. I don't think it's going to be any improvement, as you said. I think it's going to be a continuation of the same policy. I don't think he intends to pull us out of Iraq. I think this thing will go on forever and ever if we have people like Bush or Kerry in, and... I had planned to speak about something which we've run out of time, but maybe the next time we're going to talk about a program that we featured once on your program. It was the prime time from ABC News that was held earlier this year in April 8th. We don't want to let people forget that, and we'll briefly go over that next time we get together. And I want to remind people of what was done on that program, what was said, and what the upshoot for the program is. And, Dr. Spann, it's been a rare privilege to be on with you again, and God bless you, Dr. Spann.
Well, we'll get you on again just as soon as we can, Arthur. It's going to be a frantic next couple of weeks between now and the election, and then, of course, a few days after that, we're having our annual meeting, and I know you're going to be out here along with
I'm looking forward to
seminar.
It.
But I'm right, we'll get you scheduled. In fact, you call me in the next couple of days. We'll get you scheduled for right after that. Because I really want, of course, to get your information out on the veterans. The men who've gone overseas and fought for our country, I think, deserve far better than they're getting. And I want you, of course, to get your information out so people will know who to go to. Anyway, God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, Arthur.
Thank you, Dr. Spann. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, our guest this evening has been Arthur Bernclough of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to get Arthur's telephone number out, because if you're a veteran, or you know somebody's a veteran, they're just getting the runaround from the Veterans Administration. His number is 631-474-4261. That's 631-474-4261, and if you want to give him to fax him, it's 631-474-1968. That's 631-474-1968, and if you didn't get either one of those, of course, why, you can always get in touch with us, and we'll get those numbers for you. But Arthur's one of those unique people who's out there working, trying to get the information to the veterans so that they'll know where to turn to. Again, the numbers, telephone number, 631-474-4261. Well, we're just about out of time, so I want to mention that tomorrow evening down at the Holiday Inn, if you're here in the Monterey Bay area, the Holiday Inn on Ocean Street in Santa Cruz is going to be at 7 o'clock in the evening, a free meeting, no admission charge. And, of course, we're just going to have a prayer for America, for our Constitution, for the media, for the outcome of the election. And all we can do is ask God's mercy on this country. Whether we deserve it or not, I'm not saying, but we have to ask for God's mercy on this once great Christian nation that is now a post-Christian nation. And then we want to remind you once again about the conference we're going to be having on the 6th of November, and that is going to be on the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we hope that you'll want to come. All-day session, all-day seminar, lunch will be served, you're going to have reservations. Telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Bring in some great speakers, I'm sure you'll enjoy them. So again, the number 1-800-544-8927. I want to mention that there will be tomorrow morning over in Salinas the last of the series of programs on the Institute of the Constitution. If you'd like to call and learn more about it and where it's going to be held, call 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. Ask for Alex. And, of course, we need to get these Institutes of the Constitution, more of them in this area. We know that up in the Spokane area, there are two of them going on right now. We need them, of course, in this area as well. People have to understand the foundations of our freedom. Now, I'm going to be doing the program tomorrow on KSCO at noon. That's 1080 on the dial, 1080 on the dial here in the Monterey Bay area. If you'd like to listen in, why we'll be talking about the Constitution and what's happening to America. So then, of course, we suggest to you that if you would like to get more information on our heritage, we have a four-tape set on the foundations of our freedom. We, of course, have a wonderful book, America's God and Country. We have The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. We have Abandonment Theology by John Chalfant. We have The Original Intent by David Barton. And so many other books that you need to have and to read about our Constitution. We have a great book on the Wall of Separation. It's called The Wall of Separation. You need to get it. You need to read it. It's very well done. And there isn't a wall of separation between church and state. It was actually created by those people who would destroy this country, because they knew if they could destroy the Christian foundation of this country, they could destroy the nation. And whether you're a Christian or not, you have to understand that America was founded by Christians on Christian principles, and it was this that was the strength of our nation. But today we're no longer a Christian nation. And America, of course, stands on the brink of disaster. So pray for America, please. Pray for America and pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because if we don't turn back to God, I see very little hope for the retention of our freedom. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.